Tonight, we pierce the veil with someone who's been there and come back with memories that changed everything. I'm Dave Schrader, your host with the Paranormal 360, and I welcome my guest tonight, Karen Kubico. She is a psychic intuitive, Reiki master, and certified hypnotherapist who has revisited many of her own past lives and survived multiple near-death experiences. Her work reveals what happens when consciousness leaves the body and why those moments between life and death hold the keys to healing, forgiveness, and love. So what really happens the instant you die? Is there light, sound, perhaps a welcoming voice? And can what we learn on the other side reshape how we live this life right now? I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Joining me on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, my guest, Karen Kubico. Karen, thank you so much for being here and spending your time talking with us and shedding a little light on these subjects. But I have to know, multiple near-death experiences, that's kind of overachieving, Karen.
Yeah, well, two.
Okay. So. That's still multiple. Gosh, can you give us a little background on your near-death experience?
Sure. I actually... it's going to be almost 24 years now. When my second child was in the midst of working on trying to be born, they didn't come. They were trying to break through, literally. And we both had a near-death experience. I have very clear memories of hovering above the operating table and seeing what was going on, knowing that she came out blue and them working on me. And, it was just interesting because the whole room was filled with people, not only working on me in the operating room, but also floating around above, watching over everything going on. It was really interesting. But after that moment happened, I really started to notice more stuff, I guess you could say, like ghost wise, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or, I picked up intuitive stuff a little bit more. And then I saw a psychic for the first time, and he said that my child had a really strong third eye, and if I didn't help them, they would not have a great life. And so I started delving into understanding what psychic meant and all that kind of stuff. And I really couldn't find anything that resonated until she was about three. And then I found a book on children's past lives. And then fast forward, so I got into all that. So, which brought me to why I do all the past life regression work. But then fast forward to 2016, I was in a car accident, and that was a very different near-death experience. I was spun around in my car. I conked my head pretty hard. I have so much empathy for people who've gone through that kind of thing. But I remember lifting out of my body and seeing the light above me. And Archangel Jophiel, actually, I come to know that's which angel it was. She's like, come with me. And so I took her hand and we went to future stuff in my current lifetime to show me around to see what was happening. Wow. So those are the two near-death experiences. There's a lot more that goes to all that, but that's the truncated version.
Well, help me out with this. Now, when you are giving birth to your first child and you're in distress, the baby's in distress, you're there hovering above, you're seeing both the living and disenfranchised souls. You see your child's disenfranchised soul as well?
Oh, well, that's a great question. It's funny that when you're talking about it and I'm remembering it, I'm remembering it like I'm standing there again. And I definitely know, because of all the past life work that I do and psychic related things that I work on, I definitely know that the soul itself comes and goes into the baby's body and out of it, mm-hmm. up until the point till after they're born sometimes. And so when my kid was blue and I saw them being taken out and all the stuff being, intubated and all that, all the people working on them, I feel like when I'm looking at the vision of that memory, they were not in their body. which is how I know that they had a near-death experience. So it's, yeah, they weren't in there.
Okay. So the soul was not in the body, nor was it in the room watching what was going on. Like,
no, they're there. It feels like they're there. They're definitely okay. In the room, but it's a whole other thing whenever you're talking about babies, Dave, because it's, for a long time around the time and before they're chosen, they choose your parents, right? They are floating around, hanging out, that type of thing. And so it feels like she was out of her body and then back in, but not, it feels like still thinking about it. That's interesting. I never tuned into that.
When you're seeing these beings in the room, are they seeing and noticing your ethereal form as well?
Oh yeah, I'm conversing with them. I have full memory of that. In fact, when I had a friend of mine who's also psychic tune into it, he's like, "You're telling them what to do and directing them and all that kind of type A stuff." So it was funny.
Now, knowing what you know now, after all these years of educating yourself and really kind of steeping your life into this, when your body is there prone and you're out of body witnessing this, is that physical form at all vulnerable to other souls trying to enter it while you've been cast out?
That's a great question, Dave. Absolutely. For sure. Now, that didn't happen in the birth near-death experience, but when I had the car wreck, I actually went to see a lot of people who are healers to help me through the concussion related. It's awful experience. And the one woman that was helping me, my entire body was separated from my energy part of me in a sense. It's almost like it got knocked out of it. Mm-hmm. And so it was to my right side hanging out. And within me were two other discarnate beings. I don't know who they were actually that jumped in. So that was kind of a weird thing. And then about a month after I had that wreck, I had visited with this woman who did this healing on me. And she said there were two discarnate beings that she had to shoo out of there. And I literally felt a whoosh of all my energy go back into my physical body. And it was weird because I felt like I was drunk walking around, and I wasn't. It was just concussion. And I felt normal again afterwards. It was weird.
Right. I'm sure the vessel carrying more than one host or one spiritual being.
Right.
That's crazy. So two survived moments. I know we only have less than a minute here for this segment, but we'll come back. I want to dive into a little bit about what death feels like, especially in the second one. You seem to be more cognizant of the fact.
For sure.
So I'm going to want to discuss that with you. Yeah. I'm curious if you give me like a short little answer. Why do you believe some people have near-death experiences that they're allowed to remember and others wake up and are told they died, but they have no memory of anything that took place?
I think it's a soul level decision, actually. And the short answer, because I have met people who've had near-death experiences and became psychic like overnight, and they don't remember having a quote textbook near death. They literally, and I can explain it more when we come back, but it's almost like the spirit part of you jumps out of your physical body. It's enough for you to remember that you're more than just this human, first of all. And the second of all, it negates any kind of rules. Well, I'm just a human, or I can't see the other side and all that kind of stuff.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got a lot more to talk with our guest, and there's a link for our guest on today's program guide. Karen Kubico is our guest this evening as we're talking about near-death experiences. Next hour, we're going to talk about past life. I call it aggression, especially when these past lives seem to be dripping in and filtering into our current life and affecting and impacting the way we lead our lives, success, failures, and more. So we'll talk about that in the next hour. But, you know, talking in this hour about near-death experiences, and you've had two. I asked before the break, why do some people have these memorable moments? I've had two or three near-death experiences and have absolutely no white light, no group of people waiting for me. I wasn't hovering outside my body. Yeah. You know, and I've heard some people say, well, maybe you just weren't gone long enough. But I've heard stories from people that were clinically dead for 30 seconds and people that were clinically dead for up to 14 minutes. And it seems that it didn't affect them how long they were gone. As you said, time seems irrelevant on the other side. But why do you feel that it's just some people come back with these understandings of where they've been and what's going on?
Ooh. So let me, I'm just going to, if you don't mind, I'll just use my psychic abilities and ask the question of my guys to help answer this question. So, you know, and I just want to mention too, Dave, by way of doing past life regression work, I take people and I have myself visited what happens after you die in a past lifetime. So there, in that instant, you can see exactly what happens after you pass. It's not technically a near-death experience, but it's like having a near-death experience and has woken people up as well. So in the meantime, If you don't mind, I'm talking to one of your male spirit guides that's standing literally right to your right. Okay. He's telling me why haven't. He's actually telling me that you've had four near-death experiences where you stepped out of your body. Actually, four. You said okay. Three, but he's saying four. And so he's giving me chills, which is interesting, but it is, they showed you a whole lot of stuff whenever you were out of your body. Sometimes it's more of a self-preservation sense where if you have too much, I don't know how to explain this easily, but if you have too much come through too fast, like too much information where you're not exactly sure to comprehend and understand on a human level, they're not going to like give you that information. So when I had the first near-death experience when my kid was being born, I mean, I wasn't seeing the light. The room was illuminated in white, I have to say. And there was a lot of people hovering. It feels like hovering around. Everything turned to like energy. And I was aware of everything going on below. But in the second one, I mean, I went into the light with her and she showed me, I mean, we just could go anywhere like a ghost can do. I don't know how to explain that otherwise, but they're saying to me, like, sometimes if there's like, I wasn't ready to go in the light or anything like that the first time in a sense, but I learned a lot about all this stuff. So like, if you would have a near-death experience, don't do it, Dave. But like, if you would have a near-death experience now, because of all the stuff that you know now, you would probably delve in a little deeper. And he's actually telling me that if you wanted to meditate about it, they could actually show you what happened in that moment. You'd have to kind of almost relive the trauma. And he's also saying to me that if you have it's no different. Like if you have grief from someone passing, those people who are past that you're having grief with, you won't have them come in your dreams. They don't come visit as much as you think they should because the grief is blocking them from coming. And so like, if you have a lot of trauma from those near-death experiences, that trauma is that energy that's blocking the memories of the information that could potentially come to you. The information is there for you, Dave. He's saying you could access it if you choose.
So people that like me have had these experiences without a memorable take out or take back.
Yeah.
It's nothing to be fearful of. It might just be that you got the information you needed, but it wasn't necessary to take it back in this form. But if I want to access it, it's something I can work at getting to and finding out.
Your spirit guide standing here is telling me that you have the ability to access that information. If there is trauma that's involved with the near death, like, or when you stepped out of your body, you have to actually work on that trauma, do forgiveness work, that kind of thing to release whatever that block is. Think of it like a brick wall that's blocking you from seeing the other side of it. And so when you do the work on the trauma forgiveness, you know, it's easier said than done to forgive something. But like once that brick wall is taken down because you've worked through that trauma in a real sense, then you can start to see beyond what occurred after that. It's kind of no different than someone who has been abducted. They don't always remember what happened. It's the same kind of sort of vibe.
Actually. Is there a reason? And, you know, I mean, is it best for people that have been in that space that don't have a memory? Is it best sometimes to just leave sleeping dogs lie?
Ooh. Well, that, I guess it's up to you, right? Because we're living in this free will world. This earth experience is all about free will. So it's your choice. I met somebody one time. I'll just share with you real quick because I think it's interesting and maybe makes sense more to what we're talking about. This guy came to me. He's an older gentleman, truck driver, and all the stereotypes of a truck driver vibe. And he's like, I don't know. I'm seeing all these dead people hanging out with me. And I'm like, let me tune in and see why that all of a sudden happened. Well, he had a near-death experience and had clear memories of speaking to a dead aunt and uncle. But at that moment, when he stepped out of his body and was speaking to his dead aunt and uncle, he had released any patterns or rules that he had made. I can't see the other side. And so at that moment, he cleared that out. He came back. He was in a coma, or I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's been a long time since I talked to him. For like 4 or 5 days. And when he came back, all of a sudden he started seeing all these dead people all around him, and he didn't understand why it all of a sudden happened. So for you and for anyone else who's listening, if you think that you might have had a near-death experience of some kind, you might have noticed that before that near-death experience and then after the near-death experience, you might have had a different connection to spiritual-related things, metaphysical-related things, intuition, and, you know, ghostly related somethings happening, whereas before you just didn't even know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I mean, it's, you know, kind of riding that wave between skeptic and believer. I question even my own experiences and my thoughts on these type of things. And is it something that I'm projecting, or is it something real? Which I know we'll have to cover in the second hour when we talk about past lives.
Sure.
Because I wonder how many people are vulnerable to the concept that they've had a past life simply because they have a fascination in a subject. It's one of those, what came first, chicken or the egg, right? Did my interest in the Civil War happen because I was in the Civil War, or does my belief that a past life is tied to it only because I have a fascination? So those are the kind of things I think a lot of people have questions on regarding that element. And I wonder about that with near death. When we come back, let's talk about what it feels like to die, what happens in those first few moments, and what you've learned over the years since your own experiences. And what can people really expect to have happen to them? And will they be joined by light, by friends and relatives, by God, by their favorite pet? We'll talk about that next right here on the Paranormal 360. Okay, big questions, big night. I mean, we're coming off of Halloween here. We're coming off of All Souls Day. So it's a good time to talk about these things, right? Death. Sure. Karen, talk to me about death. What really happens to us at that moment that we let go of this mortal plane?
Well, the first thing, well, if, I guess, are you talking about the near-death experiences specifically, or when I've seen a past life death experience, which is more?
Both. I'd love to know a little bit about both. Okay. I mean, when you launched into that and then having seen and witnessed spirit and people that are passing over.
Yeah.
What have you learned from those guardians and messages in your own experiences?
So generally, first of all, there's no hell. I'm just going to put that out there. Because okay. A lot of people are afraid that is a thing. You put yourself in your own hell. If you believe that you need to be punished, then you kind of stay hanging out here on this earth. The first thing that it's come to my awareness, whether I'm doing a psychic reading and helping somebody remember their own experience, or I've taken them into a past lifetime and they've gone to the death scene, and what happens next? I try to always go to that point. And even for myself, because it's interesting. But what happens always is that it takes a minute for you to realize you're dead and you are in spirit, fully aware of you. And you look back on your body and you're like, oh, crap, I died. You know, sometimes it depends on how you pass. It's a sudden jolt out of your physical body. I have memories of being a little girl, that died of polio back in the 1950s in a past lifetime. And she passed away, sat up, and was half in and out of her body. And it made me giggle because she was giggling in the memory and the recognition that she was half in and out of her body. But at that point that you, in a sense, separate from your physical body, it feels like a relief 100% of the time. And it feels like, oh crap, at the same time too, especially if you're in the middle of, oh, I was in really loving that life, or we're having a good time, or whatever. But whenever you realize that, you start to really realize and look around, it's almost like all the stuff they show on like ghost shows, I can't say all of them, but I definitely have had people play around with this. You're, in my sense, in a discarnate being, is someone who stepped out of their physical body. They're in a ghost kind of a state, hanging out here on this earth plane of existence, wandering around. And if you think about something, you are instantly there. If you want to go visit your parents 3-hour drive away, it's no effort whatsoever. If you want to, I have a lot of examples I could give. People have traveled all over the place. You can put your hand through a wall. You recognize your energy. You have an inner light that's in your heart space that is illuminated. And as long as you don't get stuck here and not go into the light, which looks like a giant sun, it feels like unconditional love. You feel like you're drawn to it. And a lot of people just are tearing up and crying when they see and experience this, the light. And it wants you, in a sense, to come near it. And I try to liken it towards, like, why do moths go to the light at night at your back porch or whatever? It's the same. They're like desperately trying to get in the light. And I feel like they're trying to get in the light. I haven't seen a bug heaven, but it's funny to me that it happens. But it is like I've seen, and you mentioned pets. I've seen farm animals that have greeted people in the light, trees and plants, if you're connected to that. That's in addition to all your past ever loved ones from that lifetime, sometimes this current lifetime, because we're having all this at once. Spirit guides, angels, people from all over are there to greet you. It's like a big party on the other side, honestly, Dave. And it's just so loving. But once you pass and you choose to go into the light, some people go right into the light. They don't fool around. But I have regressed people back into a past lifetime where they hadn't bothered to go into the light for some reason. Maybe they were afraid. They didn't know what it was about. They didn't realize, they didn't feel worthy. You know, there's a lot of different reasons, whatnot. But once you step in the light, it's almost like you walk about 10 paces and then you're in this place that I call the greeting room. And that's where everybody starts to see the silhouettes of people and welcome you and are like, hey, how you been? That kind of thing. So there's a lot of coolness going on.
And for people that are, you know, in that place of fear, like you said, I'm going to go to hell, or, you know, I haven't always been the best human on earth and I've made bad choices, which I don't think there's anybody listening or living right now that can say that they are fully confident. And if they tell you they're fully confident, they're just walking right through the gates of heaven.
Right.
Probably they're on the escalator down. Right. But you say there is no hell, you know, for a lot of people, that's a tough nut to swallow because we want to think that there is some kind of justice and retribution for a life spent causing destruction and pain. Yeah.
Well, there's karma. And by the way, if you don't go in the light, you get stuck here in a sense. You're stuck here on this earth plane. And that in and of itself is kind of like a hell because you're wandering and people can't hear you. It's like.
So it's like being a parent. I'm in a house full of people that nobody listens to me.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Stuck in that limbo. they say that they get stuck here. Are they truly stuck or have they lost sight of the light? Can they go to a funeral home down the street and walk in through Dave's light at the end of his casket?
No, that's a great question, Dave. When it's been interesting because I've asked that question. My spirit guides can help me find the light when I've passed in a past life. But they're like, I'll just see you on the other side. I have gone into the light with another person who passed and waited for me to go in the light with them together. because we pass around the same time or at the same time. But generally, they're like helping you remember to go in the light. And then once you go in the light, they're already on the other side waiting for you because they've already done that. And that's a whole other discussion, I guess, on how they can do that.
All right. Fascinating. As we're talking about near-death experiences and the expectations of death. If there is no hell, then does that mean there is no heaven, Karen? Is heaven simply a state of mind?
Ooh, no, I mean, it feels like a place to me. I've definitely walked around there and have seen it many times with helping other people see it and myself. It's I call it the land of love. It is it's where we are from in a sense. I don't know. It's a plane, it's a dimension, a higher dimension, and it's vibrational.
Okay.
High vibration.
I know one question audience members are going to have when you've been in these etheric states between life and death, and I witnessed other spirits and energies. Do they look human in form? Like if you are there, Karen, and you're hovering over your body, do you look over and see the ghost of Dave Schrader who passed three rooms down, or do you just see an amorphous kind of energy knowing that that's another human soul?
I have seen it both ways.
Okay.
Personally. Both ways, Dave. And it's because we expect to see it that way. It makes us more comfortable to see it that way. And so sometimes, especially with angels and spirit guides, they come through in a way that makes us comfortable.
Well, Karen, I'd like, you know, since you do a lot of work with people on many different levels and helping them, I'd like your insight when we come back in this last segment for near death and death experiences to give some advice on what people can do. If, you know, I had the luck of being there for the long goodbye with my mom. And being at her side, what is it that we, the loved ones, can do to help them in that moment to let go so that they're not holding on for the wrong reasons, that they're not maintaining pain, and make sure that their transition is easy on them and us? Let's talk about that when we return to your home for the paranormal. This is Paranormal 360. Yeah, Karen, no little questions tonight, right? These are all big head scratchers, but you know, as I brought up in the last segment at the end, talking about, you know, what is it that we can expect? What can we do to help those that we love during their moment of transition? And even if we're not there at that moment, you know, we find out mom or dad passed away at home. We go to their home, see the body. Is there something we can do to help aid them?
So I'll start by giving you an example, Dave. I guess this might help. So when somebody is unconscious, passed out in a coma, that type of thing, it is really about their body is laying there, their physical body, and their energy body is normally, I guess it would be to the left. I always see it to the right. I'm looking at their head and their body is to the right of them. And it is 100% of the time. It's like when they're unconscious, they're stepped out right there. They can hear everything going on in the room. And then they jump back in their body. They become coherent and conscious again. They might speak to you, whatnot. And then they're unconscious again and they're standing next to their body. You know, it's no different than if somebody is having a near-death experience. It's because you've stepped out of your body because you don't want to or don't need to, honestly, experience that pain and suffering. So your question was, Dave, to when somebody is going through the experience of the death, you can say to them, they might be afraid to leave your side. They don't want to be able to watch over you, that type of thing. Some people just want to hold on and hold on and hold on. It's recognizing that they can hear everything you say 100% because they're consciously aware, especially when you step out of your body, you can hear everything that's occurring and be more, I guess, hyper aware of what's happening and going on to your physical body while you start to recognize, especially near to your death day, which is your free will choice. Again, you are becoming more comfortable with the idea of being separate from your physical body. And then at the same note, remembering or coming to terms with, oh, I'm a spiritual being. Oh, I'm a spiritual being. And you're really in line with that connection of who you really are as a spiritual being. Sometimes when people are passing, their loved ones are already standing there waiting for them to help them to go into the light. I definitely have people talk about and are aware of their mother, their father, their whoever. They're like, hey, aunt blah, 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 or uncle blah, 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 or my mother is standing here or whatever. And they've been passed for many, many years. And it's because it's almost like you're leaking in and out of consciousness and recognizing that you're seeing those on the other side ready and waiting for you.
See, I always thought it was fascinating that people would have those moments near death where they would see loved ones entering the room. I was always skeptical and kind of leaning into the science concept of it at first, that it's nothing more than the brain as it's shutting down, releasing memories. So we're projecting and seeing these images. However, yeah. What really threw me was talking to how many death doulas and hospice care workers have been in the room with somebody passing, and they have no knowledge of the friends or relatives and things that have passed before them. And somebody will start talking to a spirit that they can see. And sometimes the caretaker also sees this, which tells me that, you know, there's got to be more to this than just our brain hallucinating in those last few moments.
100%. I mean, I've gone to funerals personally for people who've passed that I know, and I almost always see them hanging out with their body. It's kind of cool, actually. In fact, the last funeral I went to with my friend's mother passed, which was not easy for her, but the light showed up right then and there, right there in the funeral home, right by where she was sitting with all her siblings. It was beautiful, actually. It's beautiful. So I told her.
Some people have come back from near-death experiences having a much more traumatic moment. If hell doesn't exist, what do you think that they were experiencing?
Well, I know the second near-death experience I had a choice to come back. My kids were in middle school. And so that's scary. If they had a scary experience, the only thing I can say is it feels like it was probably more of seeing people who have not gone the light. Remember I talked to you about that inner light?
Mm-hmm.
If you hang out here in this earth plane, that inner light starts to dim. And that's when you see the scary stuff or the dark things or the, I don't know how else to explain that. But you can remember your inner light and then you become dark and dim and then you become illuminated. I just always ask the angels to help when that happens, Dave. I don't know if the angels can answer the question or not.
No, I know it's a tough question to answer, right? I mean, and there's no absolutes in what we're discussing.
Given the example specifically to tune in.
We've got about 2 minutes left here. When somebody's passing away, like, you know, being at my mother's side, part of me, of course, is like, Mom, fight, stay with me, don't go. I also realized that she was in pain and this wasn't how she would want to live. There was a lot of guilt afterwards that I kept leaning down and telling her, it's okay, Mom. I'm an adult now. You've taught me well. The kids are great. You know, the grandkids love you. You'll always be a part of our mind and thought. And part of me felt this overwhelming grief. And I've talked to people around the world that have had the same thing. It's not like we're actually calling them back from the ether, right? When we're doing that, they still have free will to just.
So keep in mind, Dave, maybe we should have talked about this a little sooner. When you do pass, once you pass and you're hanging out here in this earth plane, and then you go in the light, you go up to a higher plane, a higher dimension, the heaven space. I call it the heaven space. You can always come back and visit. It's no effort whatsoever. Telepathically, you communicate with anyone on the other side. Doesn't matter who. You're thinking about them. They get like a signal. And they can come back and visit you without any effort whatsoever. 100%. You talk about them, think about them, they're there.
All right. But I meant in the fact of calling them back into the living realm that they're still bordering on that cusp. Should we just feel free to let go of that guilt and know that in our heart of hearts, what we're doing is something that is empathetic to their plight in that moment?
Well, you don't want them to suffer, right, Dave?
Right.
I mean, there are people who can come back and rally and live another 10 years. So then there's that off chance, right?
Well, let's do this. We're going to take our break. Coming up next, If what happens after death can transform the way we live, what about what came before? In hour two, past life aggression, I'm calling it, Karen Kubico helps us uncover how echoes from our previous lives might still be shaping our fears, loves, and choices today. So don't move. Your next lifetime's about to begin right here on the Paranormal 360.